I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 125 of Digital Divination, and I don't know what to do because there's no disclaimer this episode.
It's a buck and a quarter.
It's a buck and a quarter.
This yeah. December 5th. No, wait. Shoot. It's not
23rd.
The 5th.
It's the 23rd. Yeah. But there's no Ron today. He is.
Yeah, I know.
He is. He said he's helping friends. And then I hear that he's doing a Skull and Shackles game. So I think he's helping pirate with friends. I'm not quite sure now.
Well, any friend you can pirate away from is a good one. That one, I'm sorry, that one got away from me a little bit. I was going somewhere else with it, and my mouth decided to just say a different thing.
No, that's fine. Well, Jason, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and... Mm-hmm. We celebrate Christmas, and I know you celebrate a variety of things. Yes. I just want to wish you a happy holidays.
Yes, and happy holidays to you, John.
And to our listeners who, if they do listen to this before the holidays, this comes out day after, though.
The day after. There's still some holidays.
Yes, Hanukkah, still some other holidays.
Hanukkah's still going at that point this year, and then New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Always a good celebration. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Hanukkah starts on the 25th. Is that right?
Yeah, it starts. It starts this Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's wild. That's
we're having lakkies for Christmas dinner, which is going to be great.
I'm not
lakkas,
sure.
Lakkas. Why did I say lakkies? Lakkas. Potato pancakes.
Yeah. I had a really good friend of mine who used to live across the street, was Jewish, and so we would celebrate Hanukkah with them as well. So it's kind of fun.
Good.
But I was thinking, in light of the holiday season here, that we would talk some, just kind of about holiday traditions. And I don't even know if we can talk about any Starfinder holiday traditions. It's not old enough to have a lot of traditions. But maybe talk about our own traditions.
Yeah. I mean, people talk about Vescomus and something. I'm behind on the lore on the Vescomus. The winter solstice holiday.
Right.
I'm sure there's something there. But to sort of get into that, because this is, maybe it's a new tradition, but currently a little bit interrupting my current traditions. Tell you a little story about why I couldn't record last time because of a bunch of stuff. And this relates to the story I told before Thanksgiving, if you recall, that I was going to go to the dog library and borrow a dog for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I never told you how that all went. And it went pretty well. I got this dog. We got Oreo. He's this sort of black and white spotted guy because I had walked him a couple times during my volunteer work. And I brought him back Thanksgiving. That morning I went into the shelter and volunteered. And then we also gave meals to all the dogs, Thanksgiving meals to all the dogs. They were mostly frozen at that point still, too. So the dogs.
Nice. Oh, that's so awesome.
No, not the dogs weren't frozen. No, the meals were frozen a bit. But they got them and all. At that point, and then I got, found someone to be like, hey, can I take Oreo home for the night?
Yeah.
Brought him home. He was a sweetheart. He's been, I may have posted his pictures on social media. And so he stayed the night, slept in the bed. He was a real snuggle bunny. And then I take him back the next day. I kind of I was going to bring him back first thing, but I was like, the shelter doesn't open until noon. I'll get him back before that. So we kept him a couple extra hours, took him back. It was a little tough for me because I was going to then do a shift. And then I decided I walked like two dogs and I was too sad because I was already missing him. That weekend, over the course of that weekend, we said, let's decide to see if we can ask to foster him just for an extended period of time, so until he gets adopted. Because he is a little too, just in general, also probably too big for this house and our current situation. But we thought we'd try to foster him. So I sent out some emails. And that Sunday, I was waiting to hear back. We heard, Oreo, someone already took him home for a trial adoption. 2 week trial adopters. Great. Yeah. Oh, great. The reverse jinx, we were calling it. You know, it's basically because we wanted them, someone else got them. Great. Fantastic. So then we said, well, let's start fostering another dog. Let's set up some time for that. So we set up a meeting for like that coming Wednesday. We got to the shelter that Wednesday to go meet this other dog. And they were like, you know, Oreo. And we had said before this, if that trial adoption doesn't work, let us know. And it didn't, unfortunately. He had been brought back, like maybe even that morning, I think, by the family that had trial adopted him, because they had a young kid and he is kind of rambunctious. He's a 1 year old dog. He's like 65.
Oh
pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
yeah,
a little
yeah.
too big probably for the, yeah. for the kid. Although he's a sweetheart most of the time. So we took him. So he's like, okay, we'll take him. We brought him back and he was great for a little bit. And then we had him for like a day or two. And it was like the next day. We got to the point of time where it's definitely, you know, since he's 1 year old, what's called the demon hours, which is around dusk. He started biting, basically. He was getting real bitey, chomping on clothes mainly, but, you know, he'd get a little nip. He didn't break the skin or anything, but he would scrape the skin a little bit, and he was bruising us. So we kept him for like, we were trying to figure out what to do. He's just chomping on everything we can, toys and food. If we give him food, he would eat the food. Maybe lick a Kong for a little bit. And then once he was done with that, back to chomping. But then like once 10 o'clock rolled around, he'd conk out and go to sleep and sleep through the night. It was getting to be a little too much for like after a couple of days of this, couldn't figure out what to do. I was distracted. I was trying to get, had a couple of days of work that, to do before the weekend and freelance projects that I'm working on. It was just getting a little too much to deal with. Cause he was like getting too excited by me specifically. And our housemates was getting a little, also just kind of like staying in his room because the dog would just come out and bite everyone's clothes. So we had a tough time about that. And then that was the Sunday we were going to record. I was like, I can't record. It's during bad times. He'd just come in here and start chomping at, I need to help my wife figure this out. Eventually we decided that we couldn't continue fostering him. So like that Tuesday, we had to take him back. It was very sad. Again, very sad. I hope someone hopefully will snatch him up soon. Because he is a good dog. He just needs to learn a little bit. And maybe he needs another dog to teach him not to bite so much. I don't know.
Right.
We just didn't have the capacity to train him that. So then like we waited with, maybe we won't do anything. We waited a week. And then we decided, well, let's have a guest for Christmas. Right. We were getting sad, lonely a little bit, empty nesting a little bit, I guess. So we met another dog this past Thursday, Coco, who was the dog we were going to meet the first time. Cause she's been in the shelter for a little bit. She's getting a little sort of, over anxious with all the other dogs there and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we met her. She clicked with us, out in the yard. We brought her home. She's clicking. She's doing great right now. She's also she's four. So she's a little older, a little smaller. She's about 50 pounds. sort of beautiful. So she's sort of chocolate colored all over, basically, in her nose, her eyes, just this beautiful brown. Maybe she got one white spot on her armpit. So we're teaching her stuff. She needs a little to get a little energy out. So get a little, she likes to play tug. So we got a couple of tugs and she'll just bring it over. She's like, I'll play this, and get a little much like, oh, we're trying to do other things. But sometimes they just take her out running around the backyard. She's been really getting fascinated with birds. And so that's where basically my whole story is like 2 or 3 weeks of just ups and downs, lots of emotional roller coasters. So basically our Christmas traditions are revolved mainly around me taking a lot of time off of work. And then doing jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We put a table in front of the TV. We put on Christmas music or Christmas movies and do a jigsaw puzzle. I did manage to do one jigsaw puzzle before we got, because we have three this year. we usually have like one or two. And to get one done before Coco came here. I'm working on another one. But we had a second one, which was too hard, kind of. It's just all the pieces are weird shapes, and she was trying to get up on the table and bite the pieces. So that had to get put aside. So I grabbed the one that was going to be a little more easier, and I just did the frame for it this morning. But still she's trying to jump on the table a little bit. It's a little distracting. We haven't really watched as many Christmas movies yet as we would normally do. But then, that's essentially the tradition with Christmas movies. Christmas morning, we do Christmas cinnamon rolls. I don't know if you can hear that. She's in her crate right now, just chomping, looking for food. We do Christmas cinnamon rolls Christmas morning for breakfast, and then we, you know, again, sort of hang out, Christmas movies, maybe watch Muppet Christmas Carol. Got to watch that every year. Got to watch the Hogfather adaptation. I don't know if you're familiar with Terry Pratchett's Hogfather book. There's a BBC adaptation. It's like maybe like 3 hours long total. Very good. I recommend that. And then some other, maybe we'll probably watch Elf. We'll probably watch Home Alone. Classic Christmas movies. And then to sort of extend the tradition, you know, we do the Hanukkah stuff. We do the latkes, and Paula might make the donuts. The name I can't quite pronounce, but souffagnat, something like that. I'm butchering it. And then New Year's Eve, we'll watch The Apartment, which is a New Year's Eve movie.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
I actually did not know that.
It basically ends on New Year's Eve. Like the last scene is during New Year's Eve. So it's kind of a Christmas movie too, but mostly a New Year's Eve movie.
Wow. I'm just thinking, when you mentioned that, I'm thinking, when you were saying a movie on New Year's Eve, I was thinking Sleepless in Seattle.
Okay, that's good.
Because that one ends on New Year's Eve, right? On the Empire State Building kind of thing. So.
I wonder if they did that as a sort of an homage to The Apartment.
It was just a coincidence. Not be surprised. Yeah. Well, that's fine. We have a little bit of a fostering issue we're doing right now. So my daughter came down from British Columbia. She goes to school at UBC. She's doing her PhD there, and she has two cats. They're like four and three, and they travel with her, and then they stay with us. Well, last night we were supposed to record in our truck that she was driving in broke down, and we had to go pick her up, and that actually got towed today to a shop. So we picked her up and her cats, and they're just so much fun to have around because they're young and they run around and they're usually in her apartment. She has a two bedroom apartment up there with a friend, and they're usually kind of in there, not a lot of space. And they get here, they have all the space, and they know they can sneak out, and they just love to sneak out and go out and play in the wilderness. And I have to go out there and call. Yeah. And usually we're pretty good. Like they were here over the summer and they never got out like the whole time. Cause I just kind of, it was a new house, right? We just got this house in the summer. I was afraid, well, they're not familiar with the house. If they get out, they won't come back, or they won't know how to come back, whatever it is. So really, really careful. And then like, I just get back from getting the truck towed and taking care of it at the shop. And my wife says, oh yeah, don't close the garage door. The cats got out. I said, okay. But one of the things that I learned when they're out, that if my daughter goes and calls for them, they'll come around. And so I started doing that when they would get out at the various other houses. And sure enough, I got them both to come in and go back in the house. Yeah. So it's like, they kind of know this is home, but they're just, one of them just really, really loving. It just will kind of get up on you and nuzzle you the whole time. The other one takes them a little while. To be like we had him for like 3 months, and it wasn't until like the last 3 weeks that he would start feeling comfortable. Now it's like 3 days, and then I remember who these people are. And,
they got to get used to you.
I mean, they were both rescues, and he was, he had been on the streets and all kinds of stuff. So it was just very, very skittish, about things.
Yeah. Apparently Coco is from they brought her in from like a homeless encampment. So she has also lived out on the streets, but we were like, when we brought her home there, we're not sure if she's ever been inside a house actually, just the shelter. But she's fine. She's taken to it. She's got to learn a little bit about like what's not a toy and what is, because my wife does a lot of crocheting and all that stuff is real soft and easily chompable. No, just the toys. If you like, hey, hide it with like all these crochet coasters that we have, if you hide all that away.
Yes.
crochet table runners all hidden away now at this point.
So in terms of our traditions, I was thinking about this. So I was wrapping presents before this, and one of the traditions that started before I got married, but with my wife and her family, so this was this would be like 40 almost 42 years ago, like when I first started dating her and stuff, is, you know, wrapping presents, is making handmade bows. So her family had always done handmade bows, you know, so basically taking ribbon and building, you know, making bows by hand. And, and so I learned how to do it then. And so now for the past 40 years, I only put handmade bows on presents. And so it's like, oh yeah, okay, I got to do this. And the thing is, like, my wife has learned a couple different ways to do them much more efficient. I learned one way 40 years ago, and that's the only way. But, you know, so I spent all this time wrapping and all this time bowing, and just literally, like, right before we got started, I finished wrapping last of the presents. So those are done. So that was like one of the oldest traditions. And then we have another tradition, and we were working on it today. We lived in Houston. And when we were on the way back from church, we would stop by this place. It was called Morning Kolaches, and we would get kolaches from there. And it's like a bread wrapped around, it could be like a fruit, but our favorite is a bread wrapped around like meat and cheese. And my wife, my daughter's vegan, so she gets fake meat and fake cheese in hers now.
Oh, good. Oh, they have them there?
Yeah. Well, no, we make them now from home. So
you make them now. Oh, I see.
Over the last, so this was in Houston, and we loved them so much when we moved away. My wife spent like 2 years perfecting a bread recipe to taste just like the way we remembered it. And she nailed that. So now this is like for 30 years, she will make kolaches, and it's just, we'll make them before Christmas, and that's what we'll eat Christmas morning. Along with, she makes a Swedish tea ring, which is basically a big cinnamon roll.
Like a big Danish ring, right?
Yeah. You just slice it individual cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, nice.
And my kids just love those things. And my kids are like, you know, both of them are around 30. And, you know, we were just talking about it. It's a lot of work. Like we were, you know, we make up a couple dozen, 3 dozen kolaches here. I think we're making 4. Our family goes through them so fast. And then our extended family, so we visit them. It's my wife's sister's family. We visit them on Christmas Eve. And then they come visit us on Christmas Day. And when they come visit us, they know we make kolaches, and they love them. And so that's why we got to make more and more all the time. And it's like, oh, man, it's because, the you know, you got to make up the dough, and it's going to rise like for a couple hours.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to make them up. And, but one of the things we figured out is that you can actually freeze them. So sometimes we'll make them way in advance, but usually it's a couple of days before Christmas and get them ready to go. So, you know, that's like a 30-year kind of tradition. And then we do, you know, kind of what you're talking about, watching movies. One of the favorites the kids like to watch is Elf. Forever they've wanted to watch that. And I'm like, I've seen it so many times. I don't need to see it again.
But that's why I like to do the puzzles while we're watching. Because I don't really have to watch the movie. I just, it's there, it's on, I can hear it.
Yeah. Those are kind of the main ones. We've always tried to visit with extended family. So even when we lived away from the area, because the Seattle area is home for us, except when my wife was twice, I have 2 January babies, right? So my kids are both born January 3rd, January 10th. So except for the 2 years where she was pregnant over Christmas, we've always come back to home from wherever we were throughout the country, you know, to do things. And it's kind of bittersweet now because, you know, my parents have both passed on. My wife's parents have both passed on. And now it's, you know, it's, we're the adults. And the kids are learning the traditions and stuff from us as best as we can pass them on from the previous generations, you know?
Yeah. So I had a question for you. While you're doing ribbons or baking bread or maybe even on a drive somewhere, do you have Christmas music that you like to listen to? Any specific songs you like?
Well, I have an interesting story. I'll tell you. Okay. So when I was in college, I was at the Coast Guard Academy. We don't get a whole lot of time off, but one of the things that we get time off for is over Christmas. And I went on, we had like a ski retreat that we could go on as part of it. And it was, you know, I don't know. It was like some, and it, oh, it was like 7 hour drive north of where we're at. And so everybody else had gone ahead of time in vans and stuff, had a good old time. I was late because I had to do a final or something. So me and another guy drove up. And this is before there's satellite radio, and we're in the middle of nowhere. There's no radio stations. We had one cassette Christmas song, and we listened to it for 7 hours. And it was, Amy Grant's Tennessee Christmas. Okay. That was the Christmas album. And so the funny thing is you think you get tired of it, but I still really enjoy the songs on that album. I mean, I was never a huge Amy Grant follower or whatever, you know, a listener or anything like that. But I just really kind of got into a lot of the music. And so now when I hear those, that's great. Now, my wife's family, they had for a long time Johnny Mathis 8-tracks. And as you may recall, with an 8-track, it just keeps looping and going and going and going.
Yeah.
And so I just remember, you know, when I was dating her and then all the Christmases, we would go back to her family's house. Johnny Mathis always playing in the background, you know? So
Johnny Mathis. Yeah, my mom would always put on just, I don't know if it was a radio station or if she had like a mixtape or something. Like I swear it was like, there are a number of songs that it would be playing every Christmas, and they're currently in my also Christmas rotation basically when I put on the Spotify playlist, right? We made about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And we've been adding the two. So I've been adding to it basically to spice things up. Yeah. But like, and it's the classic stuff, like, you know, like a Frank Sinatra, which one is the one he does? I'll Be Home for Christmas or something like that, right?
Yeah.
The Bing Crosby's, right? You know, from White Christmas and stuff.
Do you like the Little, like, Drummer the, Boy with Boy?
With Bing Crosby and Dave Bowie? It's not on my list.
Oh, you know what? I like that. That's a great.
That. I don't mind that one, but I should go on the list.
Yeah.
And then like a couple of like weird novelty songs that I grew up listening to that also I assume my mom kind of grew up listening to because they're not like recent or anything. We're talking I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yeah.
We're talking Dominic the Christmas Donkey.
Yeah.
We're talking I've Been Naughty for Christmas, right? Yeah. I'm Getting Nothing, right? All those songs, right? Those are on there. And it's, I don't know, listening to this playlist is what generally gets me in the Christmassy mood. Right. Then there's more quote unquote recent stuff is my wife really likes a song by George Strait called Christmas Cookies. Kind of ironically likes it, but I think she really likes it.
Yeah.
That's got that sort of country twang. And then like 2 years ago, I put on Sammy Davis Jr.'s Gingerbread Man.
Oh.
Which I only only heard for the first time during the Marvel's Hawkeye show. That was on with Christmas. I was like, it was during the credits. I was like, oh, I really like this. And I put that on there. And then I've got like at least one. There's a Ben Folds song from the Jim Carrey Grinch This Little Christmas movie that's like from the point of view of the Grinch kind of thing. He's like, just trying to live in his cave, trying to, you know, be peace. And of course, you know, some of the original Grinch That Stole Christmas songs. Right. They're on the list. What else is on this list? What else is new on there? Nothing really. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a mix of old stuff, really.
I don't have a curated list. I used to have, I had about like 30 Christmas CDs and we would, you know, go in and cycle through them. When I moved up here in August, I finally parted ways with my 300 disc CD collection. I decided I'm not ever going to, you know, we never listen to them. You stream everything now.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, but that's so tough.
It's so tough. You got to get rid of stuff to move. You got to get rid of stuff to move. But
well, and I was never going to listen to them again. You know, it's like, if I really want to go listen, you know, to one of those old songs, I you can find it a million different places.
You know, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Not a big deal. You know, you mentioned Christmas cookies, and it got me thinking about another tradition is for a long time, my wife and her sister, who lives in the area as well, they would each make like 7 to 12 different types of Christmas cookies. Mm-hmm. And then on Christmas Eve, one of the things we do at their house is we have the Grand Buffet. And if anyone's ever looked at my social media, I always take a picture of the Grand Buffet. It's like a whole bunch of like hors d'oeuvre kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so they have a whole bunch set up. We bring some. Like one of my favorites is Pigs in a Blanket. I love bringing that. But we also, everybody brings a lot of cookies. And so one of the things is, mm-hmm. so you taste everything, a little bit of everything, and then you get to try all these different cookies, you know, so that's kind of fun. But this year, my wife's only making a couple types because she's like, it's like so much work and on top of everything else. Yeah. And my daughter who's staying with us is vegan. So there's like her Russian tea cake she can make. They're just kind of limited. She'll make vegan chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
My favorite that she would made for me forever was I'm forgetting the name. The molasses cookies. What are those? Ginger snaps.
Ginger snaps, right.
Yeah, ginger snaps is what she would make forever and ever for me. And she's not making them this year. It's kind of because I'm like the only one that eats them. So, you know, I guess she decided I didn't need that. But the sad thing is that our kids don't do a lot of baking, right? They haven't kind of picked up that mantle, and neither has my sister-in-law's kids. So I'm hoping maybe the grandkids will pick it up, you know, and
maybe
if we ever get them, or maybe the kids will want to make them for their kids. I it's kind of hard to tell, you know. They'll probably come up with their own traditions, like
that'll happen, right? Yeah,
yeah, I think that's the thing.
I guess the other, I don't know if it's exactly a tradition, but I still have my stocking that I was, I wouldn't say made for me, but like I know my mom purchased it and then like wrote my name on it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Blue basically. Right. I still have that. I took that home and I still hang that up somewhere every year. And then like at one point I made my wife one. Which was, you know, but now that's sort of having that is the tradition. Putting it up, and it's part of the, you know, putting up lights and the tree and whatever, and just kind of getting into the mood. It really gets me in the mood.
No, that actually reminds me, like my wife made stockings for both my girls a long time ago. And even now, like even this year, we'll hang them up and we usually stuff them with small treats and small, you know, tchotchkes is different, you know, different little play things. Because it's the thing that you can do right away before we open presents is what it was.
Yeah.
You're allowed to mess with your stocking. You have to wait on opening presents till everybody's up. So.
But my mom would fill our, like, there would be some stuff, some fun stuff in the stockings, but she also put like toothpaste, new toothbrush, deodorant. Like, this is stuff you're going to need. And I'm like, yeah, it's good. I grew to appreciate it, obviously.
Yeah.
We don't really, like, put stuff in the stockings. You know, I just like hanging it up.
Yeah. Well, we don't have stock. My wife and I haven't had stockings. It's like, this is just for the kids that we do it. The funny thing, you mentioned, like, useful stuff. For years, when my kids were little, my wife would make them new pajamas.
Oh, wow. Maybe.
She'd make Christmas pajamas every Christmas. And so they'd have something new and they would always open them up first. Right? It was always the first thing they could open up, and then they put them on, and then, whatever pictures you had. I don't think my kids would wear pajamas if my wife made them now. So,
it's a shame.
Yeah. No, that's funny. Yeah, my kids are old though. You know, they're
fair enough. I'm still wearing Christmas pajamas. Are you kidding me though? Yeah. But you know,
mom made, right?
No. This is stuff we bought. You know.
Yeah.
Mom and I might wear some matching Christmas pants, right?
Yeah. Like
pajama
pants.
On the morning of, just take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we usually do Christmas a Christmas picture too. That's when.
Yeah.
Like for our kids. Like before Christmas, we would take a picture of it. We haven't done this for a bunch of years, but we do have like one of those things that has photos over the years in it. And so we have them every year from, you know, when they're tiny up through high school in this thing. And then it kind of stops because apparently after high school, it's not really cool to do that. So,
you know, technically not cool to do it really ever, anytime. It's really schmaltzy and corny, but it's, you know, Christmas is the time for that.
They used to love it. I remember, I did professional photography for a bunch of years. And so I did the photos for like maybe the last 5 or 6 years of that. And we had an exchange student from Italy, and the two girls and her, the exchange student and our cat, they just love doing all those photos. Oh, just loved it. And it's like, okay. Yeah. But then they grew out of it. So I don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Now we don't have like any, you know, like at work, I have Christmas picture of my kids and it's like 2016. It's like, you know, it's like, oh yeah. That, because that's 2016 is when my youngest graduated from high school. Mm. And it's like, yeah, okay. I don't have any for the last 8 years. I don't have any pictures of them at all. You know, because, well, I have digital pictures, but I don't print them, right? Nobody prints anything anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's funny. All right. Do you have any Christmas Eve things? So this is Christmas
traditions?
Eve. Yeah.
This is when we would probably be starting the puzzles and the Christmas movies and whatnot. So, and now we just have the Christmas, you know, lo-fi music playing for to chill out the dog.
Yeah. Cool. Do you do anything with your roommates over Christmas, over the holidays?
I don't know, but this is the first year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That we have the housemate, right? Like this, like this is the first year in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Basically. And so, you know, well, maybe there'll be, you know, he's invited to have dinner with us, of course, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see what we're doing. I don't know if this is going to be a tradition. We did start playing a very complicated board game. This afternoon. It took 40 to 50 minutes to set up. And then we played like basically one age of one quarter of it over the next couple of hours. So we'll see. We had to do that though out in the garage just so the dog wouldn't try to knock. Cause there's a very, this board game gets knocked over. It's
over. Yeah.
She might start chomping. She was in there in the garage for us for a second and really started to kind of get at the manual, and we're like, okay, no, we got to get you out of here.
Yeah. That actually reminds me of another game related tradition.
Oh, yes.
When I'm running a game, usually if I'm running a game at my house, I, for the last, I don't know, 4 years, I think, I give all my players a gift.
Oh, that's nice.
So some gaming really. And so this year I gave, it's like a little fidget spinner. It's kind of like a heavy metal one. But it's got all the dice, like D4, D6.
Oh, sure. D8. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you can just spin it. So you have a handheld, you know, complete set of dice with it. So, yeah, that's why I gave out this year.
Nice.
For things. Yeah,
nice.
I always tried, I don't know, just a little something. And that was just for the, you know, the players at my, I wasn't, Ron was running the game this year. But, you know, last year and the year before I was running it, so I gave him different game. It's hard to come up with something, you know, game related.
Yeah, every year.
That's not going to break the bank that they don't already have that, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. All of my, a lot of other people that I play with have January birthdays. So we end up doing more birthday stuff. Like, oh, we'll do a birthday session, you know.
Yeah. Well, both my kids are January birthdays. And so
you were saying.
We have to have a very distinct break. Well, we do two things traditionally is we always celebrate their birthday separate from Christmas. They never get any joint gifts like that. We used to give them separate birthday parties. Now, since they're older, we kind of do a joint one in between. Yeah. And the more interesting thing for a long time, all the time they're growing up, we did a half birthday in the summer because we always kind of felt like other people would kind of just glob together Christmas and birthdays for them. So we wanted, and they didn't realize until like they were way older that everybody didn't do a half birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. So they just say, oh yeah, we do this all the time. Okay. You know, and it's just so they could, and that was always we didn't do a big party, but they would get a half birthday gift usually.
Sure.
You know, you might
half of a gift.
Do something.
And give them the other half in December. Exactly.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Here's the big important thing. You know, here's your big fancy computer. We'll give you the password to get in at Christmas. Do you do gaming like any online gaming over the holidays?
It gets oftentimes pushed back, right? Oh, you know, yeah. There's a lot of people, you know, it's really kind of, as always, to get people going together. I mean, I try. I'll probably be playing something on, like, a video game type thing. It's easier to drop in, drop out kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I think the last Thursday was my last session of the for the year, probably.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've been an academic for, like, 25 years now. And typically I'm off like from Thanksgiving through early January. And almost usually in that time, I would play lots and lots of video games. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. From, you know, because I had such a big chunk. So usually, you know, right after Thanksgiving until I had to do all the Christmas prep, I would be playing a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff. And,
That reminds me though. Yeah, I'm gonna try to cram in as much video gaming as possible this week. Which reminds me, I have to probably I want to buy something off the the Steam winter sale is happening, and I gotta get something off my wish list, right? But I don't know what it is yet, so we'll see.
You'll surprise yourself, and then you'll be happy.
I'll pick something. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's on my wish list. Of course, I want it.
Yeah. So fun. Now, man, I wish we had Ron here, but I think he would have so many traditions to add. I don't think we'd have enough time to talk about it all.
Good. Well, then I'm glad he's not here. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, Ron, wherever you are, I hope you have a good Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you after that.
We'll see you soon. Stay dry, Ron. Yes.
Well, to everybody out there, have a wonderful holiday and a Happy New Year, and we will see you on the other side.
Merry Happy New Year, everyone.
I'm John.
And I'm Jason, and this has been Digital Divination.